1100. Okay, we're starting today Parshas Hazinu, which is a very unique Parsha. And it's in page 1100. But before we begin the actual Parsha of Hazinu itself, the Maral Miprag, he brings down here in this Chumash, the Maral Miprag and the Mizritcha Magid both emphasize the importance of saying Hazinu, knowing it by heart. It purifies the mind and heart, leads to longevity, you live long, and success in business. If you recite Hazinu. And the Friedrich Rebbe said, the previous Rebbe said, if businessmen realized what benefit this would actually bring, they would be more careful about doing it, by reciting Parshas Hazinu. Okay? Number one is like this. There's a bunch of things he brings about the greatness of Parshas Hazinu. Number one, the Levium, whenever they brought additional sacrifices in Shabbos, the Korban Musaf, they sang Parshas Hazinu. So the Levium actually sang it every Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. Secondly, where do we learn out the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah? Remember the last time we had a class a few weeks ago. It says over there, you have to write Divrei Hashira Hazais, the words of the song. What's the song? Hazinu. So therefore, the whole essential mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah is derived from the concept of Parshas Hazinu. Next interesting thing about Hazinu, Hazinu is the last Parsha that's read on Shabbos. In other words, not in Eretz Yisrael. Zeis HaBracha, the last Parsha in Chumash, is only read on Simchas Torah. According to our calendar, outside of Eretz Yisrael, Zeis HaBracha, Simchas Torah can never fall out on Shabbos. Oh, wow. It could be like Shabbos and Sunday. So in Israel, where they only keep one day Yom Tov, they read Zeis HaBracha on Shabbos. But according to outside of Eretz Yisrael, according to the calendar, Simchas Torah can never fall out on Shabbos. So therefore, what's the last parsha that we read in the Torah on Shabbos? Is Parshas Hazinu. Okay? Next is, the song was said with the intention you command your children and be careful to observe all the words of the Torah. And another interesting thing, that Parshas Hazinu has 52 psukim. What perek is Parshas Hazinu? Perek Lamed Beis, which is Lev. Now, what's unique about that? That Hazinu, therefore, is connected to the whole Torah. Why is that? The first letter of Chumash is Bereshis Beis. The last letter of Chumash, Le'eni Kol Yisrael, is a Lamed. The last letter of Chumash is a Lamed. First letter of Chumash is Beis. So the Balei Torah and a lot of commentaries explain that that's the concept of Lev, the heart. The fact that Parshas Hazinu is Perek Lamed Beis of Devarim shows it's the whole heart of the entire Torah. So these are reasons why Parshas Hazinu is such an important thing. It's a skula for business, it's a skula for living long. It's also brought down, this we'll get to later, when, not today, but the name of every person and their future is alluded to in Parshas Hazinu. Okay. If you want to know your name and what your life is going to be about, you're going to find it in Parshas Hazinu. In fact, we'll get to the exact pasuk later.
You might not find it, though.
Huh? You probably won't find it. The Ramban, the famous Ramban, had a student by the name of Avner. This Avner turned away from Yiddishkeit completely. Mamish eating on Yom Kippur, Mamish nothing. Later on, the Ramban met him. The Ramban said to him, "What happened to you?" So he said to the Ramban, "Because of you, I'm not religious."
Oh, wow.
So the Ramban said, like, "Hello? What does that have to do with me?" He said, "Because you preached, you taught us that the name and the future of every single person is alluded to in the parsha of Hazinu. And I looked for it, and I couldn't find it, and therefore the whole thing is that they say a Baba Maisa. The whole thing is not true. So if that's not true, the rest of Torah is not true, and therefore, I'm not... So he said, I don't know if the Ramban said to him, or he said to the Ramban, if you show me where my name is mentioned, and what's going to happen to me is going to be, then I'll do tshuva. So the Ramban, even the Ramban couldn't find it. So the Ramban davened, he went home, he davened Hashem very, very strongly, and he said, God, this is a question of Pashit saving a Jewish life. So Hashem answered him. Okay, Hashem answered him. If you look later on, in Perek Lamed, it's only Perek Lamed Beis, Pasik Chavov. Okay? Pasik Chavov. And these Chumashim, it's on page, the bottom of 1104, yeah? Amarti Afehem. This is what the pasuk means. I said that I would scatter them, ashbisa me'ener zichum, causing their memory to cease from mankind. Okay? So the Rambam was revealed like this. If you take the third letter of each one of those words, the third letter of Amarti is a Reish, Reb. The third letter of Afayim is an Aleph. The third letter of Ashbisa is a Beis. The third letter Me'enesh is a Nun. The third letter of Zichram is a Reish, which is the name Avner. Reb Avner. And what does it say? That I would scatter them, causing the memory to cease from mankind. So the story told in the history books to tell the story. When this Avner heard that his name is mentioned in the parsha, he took a boat, went out to sea, and was never heard of again. Which is exactly what the pasuk says is going to happen. Ashpisa me'enesh zichram, that his memory will be causing to cease for mankind, which is exactly what happened to him. The Rebbe brings the story down in the Sicha, by the way. It's a famous story, everybody. All the story books of the Ramban bring it down. But the Rebbe says what's interesting, though, that he was called Reb Avner. Reb Avner. Not Stam Avner. Reb Avner, because obviously he did tshuva. Obviously, he did, when he went out and he realized that the Ramban was right, he obviously went out and he did tshuva. So the Torah also calls him, even in alluding to his name, Reb Avner. Not the Stam Avner. Okay, so this is the uniqueness of the actual parsha.
You can say this every day in our Shishim?
You can say it 10 times a day. You can say as many times a day as you want. Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling this song to the Jewish people. In fact, it's interesting. There's different songs in the Chumash, like Oz Yashir. Oz Yashir is written one way, and Hazinu is written in two columns. Normally it's like, one column. Hazinu is written in two columns. It's actually like a form of a song.
So you read one, and then you go to the right, and then you go to the left?
No, you go...
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically like this.
Go across.
But in the Sefer Torah, you go across.
One.
Yeah. You go across one line, next line, yeah. Okay, so now this is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the Jewish people. And he's saying, Azinu Hashemayim v'adabeiro, listen heaven and I will speak. V'sishma ha'aretz imrei fi, may the earth hear the words of my mouth. On this pasuk itself, you could talk for a long, long time. But we're not going to talk that much. Azinu Hashemayim v'adabeiro means, listen heaven and I will speak. V'sishma ha'aretz imrei fi. Okay? Now there's, if you just look in the pasuk, there's a lot of differences. There's six words, seven words in the pasuk. There's like 10 changes in the pasuk. Okay? We know in Hebrew, there's Vayomer, and there's Vayedaber. Like it says by Matan Torah, Kaysaymar lebeis Yaakov, to the women you should speak Amira, to the men you should speak Vesaged, or Vayedaber. In Lashon Kodesh, Amira is soft spoken. Daber, Rashi says many times in Chumash, Ein Vayedaber elo Lashon Koshis. Vayedaber is harsh. Okay? When it comes to the heaven, Meshe Rabbeinu says, Azino Hashemayim va'adabeira. I'm going to speak harsh. V'sishma ha'aretz imrei fi. Amira. They're going to listen to the words in my mouth. Okay, we'll soon see all these differences. In the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazon, there's a Yeshaya also says a nevuah. But Yeshaya Navi says like this, Shimu Shamayim Vahazini Oretz. Shimu Shamayim, heaven's here, Vahazini Oretz, and the earth should hear. Yeah? But it's interesting, the Medrash points this out. Meshe Rabbeinu says, what's the, it's just a lot of Hebrew here. Hazinu means to hear. Vesishma means to hear. Right? Hazinu means to listen. What's hazinu? From the word ozen. Give me your ear. Vesishma also means to hear. So it says in Teira Svadim, in Lashon Kodesh, what's the difference between hazinu and tishma? Hazinu is close by. When you say hazinu, give me your ear, that means you're close to the person that you could talk into his ear. Sishma is not close. Especially you can be far away, you can hear it. Okay? So, hazinu means close. Sishma is from the distance. What is Meshe Rabbeinu saying? Hazinu Hashamayim Vadabeira. Listen, heaven, but hazinu, and the earth, he uses the word sishma from the distance. So the Medrash says a very remarkable thing. Meshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven than he was to earth. Meshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven than he was to earth. Therefore, when Meshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the heaven, he uses the word ha'azinu, which means give me your ear. It's close talking. V'sishma ha'aretz, he was far away from the earth, because he was a very spiritual man. So therefore, by earth, he uses the word sishma. Yeshaya Navi switches the order. Yeshaya Navi says, Shimu Shamayim Vahazini Oretz. So the Medrash says, Yeshaya was not as great as Meshe Rabbeinu, as great as a Navi as he was, but he wasn't as great as Meshe Rabbeinu. So Yeshaya was closer to earth. That's why he said, Hazini Oretz. He was more distant from the heaven, so he said, Shimu Shamayim, because that was far away from him. So you have interesting paradox between Moshe Rabbeinu was closer to heaven, therefore he used the word Hazina Shamayim, and Sishma Haaretz. Yeshaya switched the order. Yeah? So now the question is like this. What are we? What are we? If Yeshaya was closer to the earth, we're really pretty far. Yeah? Yet, this pasuk is in Chumash, which is a lesson for every single Jew. Hazinu Hashemayim Vadabeira. If this pasuk is in Chumash, in Torah, it's a lesson for each one of us. That what? It comes times of the year that a Jew could be closer to heaven than earth. In other words, a Jew has the ability, the pasuk says here, to motivate yourself to become more spiritual than physical. regularly, Moshe Rabbeinu is spiritual more than physical. Yeshayahu is more physical than spiritual. But the fact that this pasuk in Chumash teaches each one of us that everybody could reach this level, maybe not on a regular basis, but every person is able to reach the level of being closer to the heaven than they are to earth. Which means, just in practical terms, we are more interested in spirituality than we are in physicality. And this every person could reach, because this is what the pasuk says, Hazinu Hashemayim v'adabera, to every single Jew. Now, why is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to heaven and earth? He says, listen, heaven and earth, and I will speak. Why is he speaking to heaven and earth? So this we mentioned a few weeks ago. But Rashi says it here. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted two witnesses. What's Moshe Rabbeinu going to tell the Jews now? Like it says, to behave, to live like proper Jews, to do what you need to do. Right? That's what Moshe is telling us in this Shira. Okay? He's telling us how a Jew should behave. Moshe Rabbeinu needs witnesses to testify whether the Jews do or don't. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jews, listen, I'm dying. I'm not living forever. Who am I going to get to testify? Another two people? They'll also die. I want two witnesses to testify that you will keep mitzvahs, and if you do, you will get rewarded from these two witnesses, and if you don't, you will be punished from these two witnesses. We learned before in Chumash, that when somebody committed a capital crime, the witnesses testified they committed a capital crime, and the court kills the person, the pasuk says, Yad ha'edim tia bai b'rishayin alamisei. The witnesses are the first ones to kill him. The court kills them. But who are the first members of the court to kill him? The ones that came to testify that they saw that they did it. Because they saw him do it, so they're going to be the ones to punish. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will not be the witnesses because I'm not here forever. Okay? In fact, it's interesting, just to go for a second. You know that biblically, witnesses cannot testify in writing. They can't. If written witnesses, in biblical law, going back when the courts would capital punishment, everything. If the witnesses couldn't come to court, and they testified in writing, they sent a document that we testified that, it's worthless. Not only that, to use modern day things, if capital punishment would exist today, and the witnesses would call up by phone and say, we testify, we can't come. But we testify that A killed B, Bezin couldn't use it. Why? Because when it comes to testimony, the Torah says, Al pi shnayim edim yokum dover. And the mouth, Torah doesn't say, and two witnesses. Al pi shnayim edim yokum dover. And the Gemara says, mi pi hem, v'lei mi pi ksavam. It has to be their mouth, and not through anything else. In fact, I know we're going off a little bit, but it's relevant to this witness testimony over here. Everybody knows the story in Esther, right? For sure. You better know. Mordechai overheard the guy speaking that he wanted to kill Bigson and Serge, you want to kill Ahasuerus, right? So everybody knows they were speaking Turkish, and Mordechai happened to know Turkish, right? So therefore he was able to understand what they were saying. They thought nobody knew what they were saying. So it says in the Gemara, why did Mordechai know Turkish? No, because the big Bezdin of 71 had to have members that knew all languages. Between all the Bezdin, they needed to know all the 70 languages. Why? Because if a witness would come from America, let's say, to testify in English, if the Bezdin didn't understand English and they would have an interpreter, they're not hearing it directly from the witnesses. They're hearing it through the interpreter, and that's not valid. You have the Torah says al pi shnayim edim yakum davar. The Torah says it has to be verbal testimony. You can't write down halachically. You can't biblically. You can't write down testimony in a piece of paper. Yep. So why by Yaksuba do two witnesses sign? Why by loan documents do two witnesses sign? Why do all the monetary things in the world today in Torah two witnesses sign? That's rabbinic. Why did they make this rabbinic law? Because very simple. If I lend you $1,000 and I have two witnesses, yeah, and I want to make sure you're not going to lie, that you do owe me the money and therefore I have two witnesses, right? One day the witnesses might go off to China. One day the witnesses might die and I'll be stuck. Why should I lend you $1,000 without, I mean, having witnesses, but as far as I'm concerned, there might not be any witnesses. So I'm basically lending you money on trust. So why should I lend you $1,000 if these witnesses might get lost or die and then I won't be able to collect my money? So what did the court do? The court established that in monetary issues, you could write down the testimony for the benefit of people. Okay? Summation of Beno says, I'm not going to be here forever. So who's going to testify? Summation of Beno says, I'm going to ask two things to testify. Granted, they're not people, but they're good enough. Two witnesses to testify that you're going to keep Torah mitzvahs. Who is this? The heaven and earth. They will be here forever. Not only will they be witnesses to testify if you did or not, they will reward or punish you. Meaning?
The malachim.
I know, but relax. If you can't come in the middle of something.
I have to.
Okay. Shh,
I do everything.
So if the Jews behave, then the earth will produce, the heavens will give rain, and everything will be good. If the Jews don't, so then the heaven won't produce and the earth won't produce. So these are the two witnesses that Moshe Rabbeinu is making, that the Jews should have them as witnesses instead of anybody else. Okay, so this is what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Hazinu Hashemayim, okay? Now, it says like this. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu using both words? Adabeiro, like we said, is harsh. And this Imre Fi is soft. Amira versus Dibur. So it says the third thing, it depends what type of people you're talking with. Shemayim, heaven, represents might, power, right? To strong people, you have to speak harshly. To earthly people, meaning the softer type of people, the Torah says you have to say imrefi, you have to speak nicer. In other words, when you give admonishment, like it says by Matan Torah, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, koseimar lebeis Yaakov, this is what you speak nicely to the women. To the women you need to speak nicely. V'sagad m'nei so, but the men, give them over the head. Take a stick and hit them over the head like Rashi says later. So this is what the pasuk is saying. Hazina shemayim v'adabeira, v'sishma aretzim refi, and this is what they're going to be the witnesses. Okay. Then it says like this. Yarev kamot l'kchi. Oh, by the way, I just want to say one more thing we said before. Remember we mentioned that Hazina is paraklamid beis?
Yeah.
It's another very interesting thing. It's paraklamid beis, we said it's the heart of Torah because it has all of Torah in it. It's a very interesting discussion in Torah. Who made up the chapters?
The Goyim.
According to many opinions, in Torah, the Goyim made it.
The what? The Goyim made what?
The chapters. In other words, like this. The psukim, the sentences, were divided by Moshe Rabbeinu.
And the malachim came.
Stop with the malachim already. Kol pasuk paskin Moshe, anan li paskinin. Any pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't finish or stop. You know, you ever see in Sfarim, when it quotes a half a pasuk, it says, V'goymer, V'vav gimel vav, V'goymer means concluding, because you can't write a half a pasuk. Because Moshe Rabbeinu made a whole pasuk. You're writing half a pasuk. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was given the psukim at Har Sinai, where a pasuk begins and where a pasuk ends. Okay? But the fact which, how you categorize the psukim into chapters, according to many people, the Goyish priests actually did it. The non-Jewish priests and scholars, they were the ones that actually, according to most opinions, divided the Chumash into chapters. So now we're saying, this is Paraklamet Beis, and we're making a whole thing out of it. Yeah? So the answer is, even though originally it was made by priests or whatever it is, the fact that it became accepted universally amongst Jews all over the world, it became Torah. It became accepted as Torah. And therefore you find in a lot of Mefarshim, they'll take the Perek and the Pasuk, and they'll derive things from it. As we do over here, at Paraklamet Beis, you know, or why does X amount of chapters in Chumash, even though it's not originally from Moshe Rabbeinu, or from the Torah, but nevertheless, something, like the Rambam says, a minig that was accepted universally by Jews, it becomes Torahim. Okay, that's okay. Let's go to the next pasuk. Yariv kamot lekhi, may my teaching drop like rain. Tizal katal imrasi, may my utterance flow like dew. Okay? So now again, he's saying two things in the pasuk. He's saying, let my teaching drip like rain, and my words flow like dew. Okay? Now. So in Hazinu, after he opens it up by saying, listen, heaven and earth, now he's beginning the actual thing. He said, may my words, my teachings flow. There's two nourishments in the world. There's dew. There are fruits that grow from dew. There's fruits that grow from rain. Okay? Now, what's the difference? Rain, interestingly, as the pasuk says in Chumash, ve'ed yala min ha'aretz. How do clouds get formed? Not a science class, but it's a Torah class. And Torah, the beginning of Bereshit, says what happens over there. It says, a vapor went up from earth, makes it into clouds, condenses, and then brings the rain back. So where does rain come from? Down here. It originates down here. There's evaporation, right? Didn't anybody go to school? There's evaporation, and then, huh?
Yeah, and then
the clouds cause more rain. Dew, on the other hand, doesn't come from the earth. Dew comes straight from heaven. Okay, dew comes straight from heaven, which nourishes, by the way, makes things wet, it makes things grow. Dew is very powerful. According to Torah, dew is more powerful than rain. Dew is more powerful than rain. Where do we see this? It says in the Medrash, and I'm sorry, the Gemara says in Shabbos, when Hashem spoke at Har Sinai, the Gemara says, I'll call Dibur v'Dibur Parcha Nishmosim. Every word that came out of God's mouth, the souls popped out of the body. They actually died. And God gave him back the souls. Betal, this is what the Gemara says, Betal with the dew, Sha'asid lahachi is be'yameisim, that he's going to resurrect the dead with. When Mashiach comes, the tchias ameisim, the resurrection is going to be with dew. Okay? Dew represents a super high level of godliness, much greater than rain. Another interesting point that we know, you know the man, you know we cover the challahs on top and bottom, yeah? One of the reasons we cover the challah, besides the wine embarrassment story, because the man, when it fell from heaven, was covered in dew, up and down. In other words, the dew fell, as it says in Satal, then the man, in last week's parsha, Bala Yisrael, right? No, I'm Bishalach. So the dew fell, the man fell, and then a layer of dew covered it. So the dew was in a I mean, the man was in a do sandwich.
So you're saying every Shabbos we mana?
It has to do with that.
One second.
Let me finish the point. So you have do on top and do on the bottom. What's the connection between man and do? Because the man is completely supernatural. Rain is natural. Do, and we'll soon see why, do is a level of godliness that's super great, and therefore the man, which was super great, was meitzi lechem min hashamayim, it came down with do. Now what's the difference between do and rain? Rain, as we said, number one, is connected to the earth. Because where does rain come from? There's evaporation or the vapor, whatever you want to call it, and then it makes clouds and then it comes back down.
You have to wait. Is Shemaim?
I don't know. Right now, let me finish the point. So now, rain, not only does it start from the earth, but another uniqueness of rain is it depends on what we do. Like we say over here, or more so in Krishna. In Shema we say, Im Shamaya Tishmu al Mitzvesai, if you listen to my mitzvahs, then, V'nasati Mitar Artzechem Be'itai, or as it says in Bechukais, Im Bechukais Yitelechu, V'nasati Gishmechem Be'itam, if you follow my laws, I'll give the rain. Or in Shema, what do we say? And then we say, what happens? Sartam V'avaditam L'kim Achedim, what happens if you don't do keep mitzvahs? Then V'choraf Hashem Bechem, Hashem is going to get angry. V'lo yiyamotar. There won't be rain. Okay? Now, what is the concept of rain, therefore? Rain is dependent on us. Therefore, we have a whole tractate called Tainus, which speaks about when there was no rain, they do it even today sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, when there's no rain, they proclaim a fast day. What's the purpose of a fast day? For the Jews to improve their ways, to do tshuva, to improve their ways by fasting. So therefore, what do you have rain? Rain is the concept of dependent on what we do. You behave, you get rain. You don't behave, you don't get rain. Do, on the other hand, the Gemara says about do, the Gemara has an expression, tal loy netzar. Do never stops. You behave, there's do. You don't behave, there's do. Yeah, do, whatever. You always get do. Why do you get do if you don't behave? If do is a form of nourishment, and the Torah says, if you don't behave, Hashem says, I'm not giving you your nourishment, I'm not giving you rain, I'm not giving you all the produce, and I'll give you everything. So why do does do it? Excuse the pun. Why does do it? So the explanation is, like we just said, do comes such a deep level of godliness where behavior doesn't matter. In other words, there's a certain level of godliness in our relationship with Hashem where behavior matters. You behave, you're good. You don't behave, you're not so good. Where do we have, we mentioned this many, many times. Where do you have this in life? Friends, the friendship is based on behavior. If I'm nice to you, you're nice to me, we're friends. If I'm mean to you and you're mean to me, we're not friends. Marriage is based on behavior. Therefore, God forbid, there's something called a get. Yeah, you can get divorced. Why? Because the bond of marriage, essentially, because the Torah doesn't allow for divorce, means it's technically based on behavior. You behave, you have a relationship. You don't behave, you don't have a relationship. Even though the covenant of marriage, I don't want to get into this now, but the covenant of marriage basically means that even when things are not so ay-ay-ay, they're not so great, you're going to work it out, but God forbid if it doesn't, then there is a concept, God forbid, a concept of divorce. There is such a concept. Why? Because even husband and wife, the relationship is based on behavior. There's another relationship which is completely not based on behavior whatsoever. And that is parent-child. A parent and a child is such a bond that behavior doesn't make you a more child, and non-behavior doesn't make you less child. You could be a better behaved child or a worse behaved child. But you're not more child when you behave, and you're not less child when you don't behave. Therefore, there's a famous song now, what the Gemara, Avraham Fried has a song, Ben Kach Ben Kach Banayim, right? It's a famous song. It's a Gemara that Reb Meir says, Ben Kach Ben Kach, meaning whether like this or that, whether Jews behave or they don't behave, Banayim, they're still my kids. They're still my kids. So therefore, that relationship doesn't matter behavior. I mean, that matters behavior in an external way. But you're not more child if you behave, and you're not less child if you don't behave. That's the level of do in the relationship between Hashem and the Jews. Do never stops. Taloi Netzar. Why doesn't do stop even when the Jews don't behave? L'chayda. They're not behaving, why should they get do? The answer is because do comes from a level of God. And the relationship between God and the Jew, Hashem and the Jew at that level, is so deep, it's like Banim Atam L'Hashem Elokeichem. It's not a relationship based on behavior, that behavior will matter. It's a gift from above. And that's the difference between rain and do. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says in this pasuk, and by the way, that's why. What?
Okay.